We're turning God's Word this afternoon to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. The text will be verses 27 and 28. I'm preaching on this passage this afternoon because at Unity, where I have a confession of faith tonight, the one who's making confession of his faith actually requested that I preach on this passage. It's not a normal passage you might have for a confession of faith, but after reading it and studying it a bit, I thought it's fitting, so I bring it to you first, so you do have a new sermon tonight. Maybe you don't often have that in the evenings. But Matthew 23, we're going to read the first 33 verses of the chapter, because Jesus there addresses the Pharisees and those who are hypocrites over and over again. This is the Word of God. "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind! For whether is greater, the gold or the temple, that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind! For whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Thus far, we read God's word. As I said, the text is verses 27 and 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the preaching. Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit, open our hearts to hear this word and have the ability to apply this word to our own lives so that we would see our own hypocrisy. We pray also that thou wilt accomplish thy purpose through the word, either softening or hardening, as thou art a God who has promised to do this. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, give strength to thy servant as he brings this word to us. He may proclaim this word in truth and for the glory of thy name. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Question might arise, why preach a sermon on hypocrites? Why preach a sermon on hypocrites? Well, there are many reasons to do so. The highest reason, the chief reason, is probably this: Jesus did. Jesus did. We see that here in Matthew 23. But it's not just in Matthew 23. If you go to the great Sermon on the Mount, and then especially Matthew 6 and Matthew 7, you see Jesus pointing out hypocrisy and preaching against it. In Jesus' ministry, he was constantly addressing the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. And now we see that here in Matthew 23 as well. Seven woes that are uttered by Jesus against this hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. And if those in Jesus' day needed to hear that, we need to hear that as well. Because Jesus here in Matthew 23 is not just preaching to the scribes and Pharisees. But you go back to verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying... He was preaching to the multitudes. He was preaching to the church. And as he preached to the church, he preached about the awfulness of being a hypocrite. Along with that, there are things for us to learn as we consider Jesus' teaching here and his exposing of hypocrites. For those of us who are not hypocrites, as Jesus defines them, there is still something for us to learn here, because this hypocrisy is found in every one of us. And the question is, as we hear this word this afternoon, where is this hypocrisy found in us? Not only that, but we're taught something here by way of contrast. Jesus says, this is what a hypocrite does, but now there's a contrast with that. This is not genuine faith. This is not genuine Christianity, what the hypocrites are practicing, what the scribes and Pharisees are practicing. But now there's a contrast. In contrast to that, this is what it is. That's what we want to look at in the last point this afternoon. This word is important because there are hypocrites within the church. And those hypocrites must be warned and they must be called to repentance. That will be part of the sermon this afternoon as well. So for these reasons, it is important for us to hear this word of God. And it is a word of God, a word from Jesus himself about hypocrites and hypocrisy. And this is what a hypocrite is. He's a man who is evil, or a woman who is evil, pretending to be good. So that's our theme this afternoon. Evil, pretending to be good. Notice first the description that Jesus gives of this in the text. Secondly, we notice the warning that Jesus gives, the woe of the passage. And then finally, we want to notice the opposite. What is the opposite of being a hypocrite? What is it to be a true believer in Jesus Christ? Jesus exposes here in the text what a true hypocrite is. Now, you and I, in our language about hypocrisy and hypocrites, may have at times been using that word and this idea in a wrong way. And I would ask you this afternoon not to let that way we may use these words to influence the way in which we look at what Jesus is saying here. Notice what Jesus is saying about what a hypocrite truly is. And in the end, you're going to see that a hypocrite at that point of living in that hypocrisy is not a believer in Jesus Christ. A hypocrite is someone who Jesus describes here as pretending to be good, but really is evil on the inside. That comes out in a few different ways. The full description is there in verse 28. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. There's that evil. But we should also go back to the word hypocrite itself. That word hypocrite comes from a Greek word that means actor. Actor. A hypocrite is a performer. He's someone who, as it were, plays a character on stage for a performance. You and I know what an actor is. An actor is someone, or an actress is someone who portrays the life of someone else. And if they're good at what they do, they will make you believe that they are really that person. And so they're hiding the way that they really are. They may be very different from the person that they're portraying, but they want you to believe that they are this way with the words that they speak, with their facial expressions, and with the things that they do. In the day and age of Jesus, there were actors, and these actors, when they acted, would wear masks. And in that way, they would put on a face that would cover their own face. That tells us something about what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is a spiritual actor who wears a mask. The mask that the hypocrite wears is the mask of righteousness. Righteousness is the appearance of being in full conformity to the law of God. But for the hypocrite, it's merely a mask. It's a mask that's covering up something else. It's covering up wickedness that is full on the inside. And we notice that contrast here in the text, especially in verse 28, the contrast between the inside and the outside, the outward and the inward, the appearance, and then what is found in a man's heart. That, of course, means that one who is a hypocrite can be very difficult to spot. They're difficult to spot because they're wearing a mask. And they look good outwardly. They look very righteous. They look very law-abiding. They look very pious. They look even very godly. But it's all a veneer. It's all a facade. It's all a mask for what's really going on the inside. And Jesus says what's going on in the inside is that you have someone who is full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And thus we see, and we're going to come back to this later in the sermon, that a hypocrite is really an unbeliever. They're living in constant hypocrisy. It doesn't mean to say that this hypocrite can't be converted. This hypocrite can be converted. They can repent if God so wills. But one who's living in hypocrisy is living in unbelief and sin. It may very well be that some of the hypocrites that Jesus is addressing here in Matthew 23 were later those who repented of their sin. Maybe at the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and there were many, many who were brought into the church in Jerusalem at that time. But understand what hypocrisy is. It's appearing righteous to cover up unrighteousness. In a way, it's something very deliberate and purposeful. It's a purposeful hiding. Thus we see and understand that hypocrisy does not describe a child of God who commits some sin in his life. It's not the child of God who occasionally falls short of God's glory, even though he or she is striving for the glory of God. The hypocrite is not someone who genuinely desires God's glory and desires a life of holiness, but falls short in certain ways and in certain parts of their lives. A hypocrite is not even someone who says one thing and practices another. Well, that's hypocrisy, and there's some hypocrisy in all of us, but that's not what is found in a hypocrite. The hypocrite is one who is deliberately and purposely living this double life and putting on this mask and wanting to portray to others that this is the way that they are when really they are not. That's what hypocrisy is. It's a great cover-up, and it's purposeful. The hypocrite is an actor, but in that he deceives himself. Jesus speaks of that even here in this passage. He speaks of them as being blind. The scribes and Pharisees were blind to the way that they really were hypocrites. They're blind to the way that they really are. The scribes and Pharisees didn't realize that they were that way. That didn't take away from what they were doing. But what it meant is that they needed the Holy Spirit to see the way that they really were. And that's true of one who is a hypocrite. They need the Holy Spirit to open their eyes to take away that blindness so that they see the way that they are. See, the hypocrite is not one who's living for God's glory. He's not living to serve others. He's living for himself and his own glory. And so the hypocrite is one who is full, as the text says, as Jesus says, of hypocrisy and iniquity. Their life is a lie. The hypocrite is one who is judgmental. Jesus says that in Matthew 7, where he gives the instruction in the Sermon on the Mount that we are to look at the beam in our own eye before looking at the mote in another. And then he turns to the hypocrites and he confronts them with their sin because they don't look at the beam in their own eye. They're judgmental to the point of never looking at themselves and always looking at others. That was the Pharisees. We'll look at them in a moment as an example of this. But that is hypocrisy, having that judgmental spirit, because the hypocrite is proud, elevating himself not only above other people, but essentially above God himself. And this hypocrite then is living a secret life of sin and ungodliness. That's what a hypocrite is. Now, Jesus has in mind specific hypocrites when he addresses the hypocrites here in Matthew 23. He's describing the scribes and the Pharisees. And notice the pictures that Jesus uses to describe these scribes and Pharisees, and that helps us to understand as well better what a hypocrite is. In the text in verse 27, He says about these scribes and Pharisees, "For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." It's like, why does Jesus use this as an example of hypocrisy? Well, it was because at the time of the Passover, when people would come to the city of Jerusalem, they would find as they came into the city of Jerusalem graves that were whitewashed. They were whitewashed with limestone, or they were whitewashed with plaster. And the reason that those graves were whitewashed was to warn the people who were coming in that they were not to touch that ground or disturb that ground, because if they did so, they might touch a dead body, and that, according to Jewish law, would make them unclean. And so the idea is outwardly these graves that are whitewashed now, outwardly they looked very beautiful and clean and good, but inwardly, underneath, there were dead man's bones. There was rotting flesh. So that if you dug that up, it would stink. The stench would be awful. And so Jesus says that's a picture of one who is a hypocrite. You and I can think of all kinds of things that look good on the outside, but underneath they're rotten. I thought of an example this past week. This past week I went down to my dad's house and helped him to get some things done around his yard and to clean up some things. One of the things that we did is we tore down a playhouse that we had played in as kids long ago. My grandpa had built it probably about 35 years ago. And it was built right there by him in our yard. And the thing looked fine on the outside, although the shingles were kind of crumpled up and there were some things rotting a little bit on the outside, but otherwise it was pretty strong. You pushed on it, it held together. But we had a little fun with a sawzall and a sledgehammer, and we broke down this playhouse. But that playhouse was built right on the ground. And the floor of that playhouse had linoleum on it. Well, you could see a little bit of a waver in it. Well, by the time we got down to the bottom and had the thing torn apart, there was nothing left of the floor. The linoleum, for most of it, was just lying right in the dirt. All the wood had rotted. Looked good on the outside, but the bottom was rotten. That's what Jesus is talking about here as he describes hypocrites. Or you think of cars in Michigan. You go to buy a used car that's maybe 10 or 12 years old. And you look over that car, and at first looking on the pictures that you see on the internet, it all looks good. Because someone was very good at painting over the rust spots. But you go and you look very close underneath that paint that was made to look very nice. Maybe there's Bondo and there's rust behind it. And in a very short time, this car is going to be rusted and falling apart as well because of the Michigan winters. That's a picture of hypocrites. Or Jesus here uses the description in verse 25 of a dish that's clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. So you think what happens sometimes with leftovers in the refrigerator. Or in a container, and maybe you can't see into that container. And so you think, oh, I wonder what's in this container. Haven't seen this in a while. And you open up the container, and the smell and the science experiment that's going on in that container is awful. That's what a hypocrite is. Looks good on the outside, but inwardly there's rottenness and the stench of sin. Jesus here is using these pictures to describe the scribes and the Pharisees. Think about the scribes and the Pharisees. There are things we know about them. Outwardly, it appeared that they followed the law of God to the T. They kept the Sabbath day. They went to worship God. They kept the Passover feast. They paid their tithes. Everything looked good on the outside. But what was going on inwardly? Well, it was exposed over time. It was exposed through Jesus' ministry. These same men who were saying, we love God, we follow His law, we do everything that God calls us to, these same men were plotting secretly to kill the Son of God. The one who is promised by God in the Old Testament was sent by God. And they wanted nothing to do with Him. And they killed Him. It appeared that they loved the law. It appeared that they loved to keep the Sabbath day. It appeared that they loved to do what was right before God. But inwardly, they didn't. What was found in their hearts was exposed. And there's many examples of that then in the New Testament. You think of Judas Iscariot. Hypocrite. Pretended to follow Jesus. Pretended to love Jesus. But betrayed Him. You think of Zacchaeus. I give him as an example because he was an example of one you might describe as a hypocrite who was converted. Might appear all good on the outside that he was simply doing what he was called to do and being a tax collector. In the meanwhile, he was stealing from the people from whom he was collecting taxes. But then Jesus came to him and Jesus turned his heart and changed his heart as well. So there are examples like that in Scripture as well. We might ask the question then, what does a hypocrite look like in the church today? And remember that the hypocrite is someone who's found in the church. This could be a husband. A husband who appears to be a godly family man, a man who appears to love his wife, a man who appears to love his children. He puts on a good front in front of the members of the church and in front of the family in public as well. But at home, the man's a monster. Or a woman. At home, the woman is a monster. The man, he's maybe a man who tried to control every aspect of his wife's life. He demeans her with his words. Maybe even he hits her. He threatens her in many different ways. He controls every penny that she spends. And in many other ways tries to control his wife so that she lives in fear of him. Her wife, who appears all cordial and nice on the outside in public and around others and seems to be the nicest woman at home, she's a monster. She's that contentious woman that we read of in the book of Proverbs. That's a hypocrite. There are others who live secret lives of sin. They're at worship services regularly. They're smiling, they're saying all the right things. They make confession of their faith. But when they're by themselves, they rarely pray, they drink regularly, watch porn, gamble, live in all kinds of other immorality and sinfulness. The Word of God says, hypocrite. Or this would be a man or a woman who seems to be very friendly, especially friendly towards children and towards young people in the church. But that man or that woman is befriending children for his own pleasure. His own sexual pleasure, her own sexual pleasure, putting on the appearance of being godly on the outside, but living in awful ungodliness on the inside. All a mask to cover up this awful, deviant, sinful life. And there can be many other examples of this as well. This is what a hypocrite is. Now, this is what Jesus says concerning the hypocrites. Woe! Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! And the question is, when Jesus says woe, and He does that repeatedly here in Matthew 23, woe to you, what is He saying? It's a word that can be a little difficult to get your mind around, but the idea of that word woe is two things. First of all, it's the idea of sorrow and grief. And secondly, it's a word of denunciation. That means a word of condemnation. So on the one hand, what Jesus is saying regarding hypocrites and those who continue to live as hypocrites, as the scribes and Pharisees were, He's saying there's condemnation for you. And at the same time, He's grieving that. I might say, well, why is He grieving that? I don't believe He's grieving that because He wants them to be saved and He can't save them. It's not that. He's grieving it because of the damage
the damage that such hypocrites cause within the church. And that's what he says here in Matthew 23 as well, about those who receive the instruction of these hypocrites, the scribes and Pharisees, and what that does to them. They think that's the right way and the right thing to do. And so many others follow in that hypocrisy. So there's that sorrow and grief because of the awfulness of the sin and the damage that it causes within the church. And at the same time, this is a word of condemnation for those who are hypocrites. This shows us this afternoon the seriousness of being a hypocrite. The question often arises then, is a hypocrite a Christian, a child of God? Well, I've spoken to that already. Believe that the Word of God is saying here, Jesus is saying here, that a hypocrite, at least living in their sin as they are, is not living as a child of God. Now some might say, well, how can we know that? Hypocrites wear a mask. How can we see behind that mask? Well, Jesus says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And then Jesus says this in Luke 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. And that means that there are times in this life when the bad fruit of hypocrites is made known, it is exposed for others to see. That was true for Judas Iscariot in his life. That was true for the Pharisees. They covered it up well, but then remember they're plotting to put Jesus to death, and they did put him to death. And so the text here is a warning to hypocrites. It's a warning to them. And Scripture speaks of that throughout. In Titus 1, verse 16, it speaks of those who on the one hand profess to know God, but on the other hand, they deny Him. Jesus speaks of those who say, Lord, Lord. And He says, not all those who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's some who say, Lord, Lord, and they will not. Why? They were hypocrites. They were not truly children of God. They said all the right things, but they weren't born again. The Holy Spirit was not working in them. They did not receive the gift of faith. So the idea here is not that there's one who is a believer who falls away. We know that that cannot happen. But it's one who's deceived. And he thinks he is a child of God, when really he's not. And so this passage today is a warning to anyone who's full of hypocrisy and iniquity and is living a lie. God is the perfect judge, and He knows all things, and He judges rightly. So with that, Jesus comes and says, repent. Repent. For anyone who's living the life of a hypocrite, hiding things, hoping no one finds out about what they're doing, the Word of God says, repent. That's what Jesus was saying in the verses that go before. Verse 26, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. When He calls them to cleanse the inside, He's calling them to repent. He's calling them to true repentance. He's calling them to true openness about what's going on inwardly in their hearts and in their lives. And so to anybody who's living in that, the Word of God is, repent. Well, there's also something we all need to look at here. The text here speaks to us about the sinfulness of hypocrisy that we find in our own lives. Maybe we're not full of hypocrisy, but there's hypocrisy within us. And so the question for each of us to face is, where in our own lives are we not living in a way that is consistent with our confession? Where in our own lives are we saying one thing and doing another? Where in our own lives are we covering up sin? Young people, it's a word for you to consider. I've heard those who have
been brought out of sin by God later in life, who looked back at their lives, and where they, when they were sitting in the pew like you're sitting in the pew in church today, when it came to the preaching addressing sins in their life, they'd simply discard it and say, well, that's not for me. And ignore the sin that was found in their heart and lives that they were trying to keep secret in their lives. No doubt many of us know what it's like to try and keep sin secret, whether we did that when we were children or we still do that now as adults. Jesus is coming to us and saying, stop with the cover-up. Stop with the mask. We are all sinners. We're all struggling with sin as well. We need to see and understand tonight that just making a confession of faith and saying all the right things is not enough. Our lives must match our confession. That's what Jesus here is saying to all of us here within the church. And this is a safe place to talk about those things where we're struggling with sin, where we need help from others. And so we can be and we need to be open about our sin struggles and not always trying to hide them from others. As we look at this hypocrisy that may be found in us and we want to understand why then Jesus says concerning that hypocrisy, woe, condemnation. He grieves it. He sorrows over it because of the damage that it causes. Why is this hypocrisy so serious? Three things we want to notice about the seriousness of this hypocrisy. First of all, this. The hypocrite worships himself instead of God. Hypocrisy is a matter of idolatry. That was true for the Pharisees. The Pharisees, as hypocrites, set themselves up over everyone else and really over God Himself as the judge. Jesus points out that in Matthew 7. I referenced that earlier. Remember Matthew 7 when He says, look at the beam in your own eye before looking at the sliver in someone else's. The Pharisees weren't doing that. Everything else and everybody else was a beam and there was nothing in their own eyes. They set themselves up on the level of God. They put themselves above God. And what they wanted to do in their hypocrisy is have everyone bow before their own greatness. And that was what they wanted with their appearance. And Jesus spoke of that. He spoke of that here in Matthew 23 as well. Look what He says there. He says in verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, enlarge the borders of their garments. Their phylacteries were their hair and the garments that they wore. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets to be called of men. Rabbi, Rabbi. They wanted the respect of others, basically. They wanted men to worship the ground they walked on. Bow before me in my rightness and my greatness. They were idols. The idol was themselves. They committed the sin of idolatry. That's why Jesus says, woe, woe to the hypocrite. It's a violation of the first commandment of the law of God. Secondly, the sin of a hypocrite is so serious because the hypocrite does not love other people. He doesn't love other people. She does not love other people. But they live for the praise of men. I just pointed that out here in Matthew 23. They wanted the praise of men. They soaked up the praise of men. And if they're soaking up the praise of men and wanting the praise of men, they never got to the point of loving anyone else besides themselves. And how easily in our lives we can crave that. We crave the praise of men. Instead of loving them, we want their praise. And instead of humbly serving others, the hypocrite looks down his nose at others and judges them. Jesus said, no, the child of God is very different. Go back to verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The hypocrite
is not about humbling himself to serve others. Thirdly, this life of hypocrisy is so serious because really it flows out of a false doctrine. The life of a hypocrite is not consistent with the doctrines of grace. That's part of the problem with the hypocrites, the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day. Remember their doctrine. What was their doctrine? It was a doctrine of works righteousness. But the Christian life is all about the outward. It's all about keeping the letter of the law. And if I keep the letter of the law, I'm saved. And I don't need this Jesus. I'm fine as I am. And so it was all about the outward. And of course, that's opposed to the doctrines of grace. When grace grips us, when grace gets a hold of us, we understand that we're undeserving sinners and what we need is the favor of God, even though we don't deserve that favor of God. But hypocrisy, it's opposed to the doctrine of grace. And that's why a hypocrite is one who may make a confession outwardly, but they really don't understand what that confession is, even if it's in perfect conformity to the Word of God. Because when we confess grace from the heart, it grips us, it takes a hold of us, it humbles us, and it drives out hypocrisy. But these hypocrites did not have that happening in their own lives. That shows us the seriousness of hypocrisy, why Jesus says, woe, woe, condemnation for those who continue in this hypocrisy. But now that brings us to see and understand the opposite. There is good news for us this afternoon. And that is by the grace of God, by the grace of God, although we have hypocrisy in us, there is a grace that has changed us to be what we are called to be. We want to see and understand what being a true, genuine Christian, child of God is. A true believer lives a life of uprightness and integrity. Proverbs 10 verse 9 says this, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his way is known." Notice that contrast. One who perverts his way and he tries to hide it is known. That's contrasted to the one who walks uprightly. Uprightness there is walking in integrity. To walk in uprightness and integrity is to be a whole person. It's not fake. It's not being an actor. It's not about the outside. But an upright man or woman is the same basically whether they're in public or in private. So that who you are on the inside is who you are on the outside. And the one who is genuine in that is not about hiding sin and keeping it from others, but is very open about it. Yes, this is my sin. I'm broken by my sin and I'm sorry by my sin. It doesn't mean being perfect. But you and I, as those who know Jesus Christ, walk in light and walk in truth. And when we don't, we willingly and openly repent of our sins. This is the life of desiring godliness and striving to live in that godliness and holiness, whether in public or in private. Because what's important for the believer in Jesus Christ is to be Christ-like in the way in which we live. And being Christ-like is being consistent outwardly and inwardly. That's important for me to apply to myself, just as it's important to apply to yourselves. I was thinking about it from this perspective as a preacher and a pastor. As a preacher and a pastor, it's more important that I am genuine and godly when I'm at home than I am in the pulpit. It's not just important how I am in the pulpit and how I am in all of my church work. Well, what kind of husband am I? What kind of father am I? How do I treat my wife? How do I treat my children?
We have to see and understand that I may not, from a certain perspective, be happy and jovial and look like a godly man from the pulpit and go home and be a jerk to my wife and to my kids. Live in anger and hurt them by the words that I say. Because my life is not about my reputation as a pastor. My life is always connected to Jesus Christ and how I live before His face. That's a man of integrity. Not concerned about reputation, but not concerned about a whitewashed appearance, but being a man, a woman of character. I wish I could stand before you and say, well, I'm always at home like I am in front of you and like you knew me for 15 years. But that wasn't always the case. I have hypocrisy in me. We can be thankful that we have a Savior who died for such hypocrisy. And He is merciful to those who repent of that hypocrisy in their lives. But a second thing we see and understand about the genuineness of faith and godliness is that a true believer is committed to truth. Committed to truth. And that follows from what we saw about hypocrites. They're not living according to the doctrines of grace. Well, that's the question for us then. Are we committed to the truth of God's sovereign grace? Well, a child of God who is amazed at the grace of God can't get enough of this grace. And in loving that grace of God, wants to live in gratitude to God for such grace. Beloved, has the grace of God so gripped us that our lives are not just about pretend, but we're the same at home, we're the same at work, we're the same on the road, even when traffic makes us late for something. We're that same way as we are when we're in public, when we're in front of the church, and we're with the church, and we're with our broader family as well. A true believer lives a life that is consistent with the doctrines of grace. May that be true of us. That we're living a life committed to God and His grace that arises from the heart and is shown outwardly. And may we be teaching our children this as well. It's not just about the appearance. It's about living a life rooted in Jesus Christ and His truth. May God give us grace. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this word. Apply it to our hearts and lives, so that we would be godly, whether in public or private. That we would live what it is that we confess, even as we confess the doctrines of grace with our mouths. We ask, Father, for consistency in our lives. And where we're not, show us and bring us to repentance for our sins. That we would know forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. Continue to bless us in this day, that we may continue to keep this day holy and dedicated unto Thee. We pray this all in Jesus' name.